Fresh Wellness, Lisa Shebag, and welcome to my podcast. A homeopath by trade, with the aim of helping you discover health, natural living, and alternative therapies to bring you down the rabbit hole.
That's good.
In this episode of Fresh Wellness with Lisa Shebag, it's my great pleasure to interview Biba Tanya, also known as the Alchemist Anarchist. Biba is a formidable woman, and it's really difficult to do justice to describing her in just a few words. She's an author, blogger, and truth speaker. For me, personally, she embodies freedom, and I found great comfort in the last year following her story and watching her travel to Greece and Portugal with her young daughters. We chat about natural health, manifestation, and freedom.
Thank you so much. I obviously, like, for you, you're inspirational for me because of the just you embody freedom, you know, and the natural health, I think, is really like all about freedom and being free and breaking away from that conventional medicine. But for you as well, like, I followed your story from my friend shared your YouTube videos last year on Facebook, and I was like, oh my god, who is this amazing woman? So I started following you, and then, like, I've just been sort of awestruck, you know, watching you and your journey to Greece and to Portugal. It's amazing.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so much. You've hit the nail on the head there, though. Taking responsibility for your health is the first step to freedom. Without a shadow of a doubt, you know, when you make that decision, when you get that enlightenment that actually anything you're going into a conventional medical system for is for nothing but either suppression of symptoms, you know, the root cause is never addressed. And it really was, my journey into natural health was definitely sort of the first step into breaking away.
Yeah, and I think I can completely relate to that. I mean, how did you get into natural health? What was it that got you into thinking that way?
So I had my son when I was 23, he's 16 now, and I did everything wrong, in inverted commas. He was a C-section baby, he was in his own bedroom at 6 weeks old, which breaks my heart when I think back. And then I fell pregnant with my daughter Tabitha 10 years on, so I was 34, and my son had had loads of issues growing up, not serious ones, but he was very late developing. He was hospitalised twice with things he'd been vaccinated for, measles and meningitis. Oh, and when goodness. It came to falling pregnant with Tabitha, I had a beautiful, beautiful friend, and she just really gently and really subtly, she just went, look, she went, before, while you're pregnant, I'd really like you to read through some of this material. And she gave me some information by Trevor Gunn. I don't know if you've heard of Trevor, but he's a homeopath and he's phenomenal. And it was all about vaccines. And at the same time as that was happening, I had another friend, Callie Blackwell. Now, I get emotional when I talk about this story, so if I start to cry, it's just because it moves me every time. Mm-hmm. But Callie's son was in hospice care on end of life care, and he was only little, and his body was riddled with cancer, and Callie saved his life. Callie, as a mum, she started investigating everything that the doctors were telling her. And long story short, but that was 7 years ago, and her little boy is now a thriving, strapping young man. Yeah. So at the same time as I was getting sort of all this information about vaccines, I was watching somebody save her child's life by going against everything that the medical system was telling her to do. And it was just like one of those things you read about. It was like a face slap. It was like suddenly in this one moment, everything just was like, these people know nothing. Meaning the healthcare system. And I just started reading everything I could and made the connection that my son was in fact vaccine damaged. Started him on a detox, and seeing the changes in his health just blew my mind. it blew my mind, and I've never looked back. And it was just, it was a journey of baby steps after that. You know, first it was right, the healthcare system, clearly no call. And then I started looking at the schooling system, because he was in school. I was like, ah, this makes no sense either. So then I was like, right, well, I'm homeschooling from now on. Until it was just this gradual step. So by the time it came to me being pregnant with Lola, I was refusing to see doctors altogether, and I just birthed her on my own.
It's amazing. I mean, your whole, like, just looking at your Instagram page and your book and your website, I just think I could do a whole podcast series on you and all the different topics, because it's amazing. But what you say, it is interesting, because when you start going down sort of investigating, I know my eldest daughter, I mean, it was definitely a vaccine that tipped over the edge, but I mean, it was conventional medicine. You know, she had antibiotics after antibiotics. You know, I didn't know any better. You know,
it's a cumulative effect. It's why people, you know, when people say, well, I vaccinated and I was fine, and you vaccinate the next child and it drops down dead within 12 hours. It's a cumulative effect of, like you said, the antibiotics that you're giving. Did you give Calpol? Did you give Nurofen? What's the diet like? Are you feeding lots of wheat, lots of sugar, lots of dairy? It's all this stuff that can just destroy the gut and ultimately your health.
Completely. And there's also, obviously, some people, as you say, more susceptible than others. Some people...
Absolutely, yeah. Environment, to, you know, whatever you're exposing to in the home. Is your house full of plug-in air fresheners? Are you cleaning with, you know, your missus hinching your entire place with the flora? There's all these different factors that can be taken into account.
It's quite, when you first start going down that, sort of opening that Pandora's box, it can be quite overwhelming.
Like, I've found it's horrendous.
That's what I love about your ebook, though. It summarizes it all in just such a lovely condensed version. Because, I mean, I read, I don't know if you've heard of it, Toxic World, Toxic People. It's amazing, and it's like this thick, and that was like right on the sort of when I started to sort of question things, and I was like, oh my god, everything in my house is going to poison me.
Yeah,
plants, I need this, where do I start? And your book, that's what's lovely, it's just such a nice sort of intro.
I wrote it sort of with the mindset of, what would I have wanted to know before I had my children? And I wanted it to be really short, snappy, and just get the points across. But the point I really try to make in that book, and I try to make to the hundreds of people that contact me every day in this blind panic, because like you said, when you start to, you know, go down the rabbit hole, if you want to call it that, or start to come to the realization that, you know, we're surrounded by all these toxins, it is overwhelming. And the guilt you can start to feel for exposing your children to what you have been exposing them to, it can be, you know, soul destroying. And the point I try to make to everybody is, any decision you've ever made for your child, you made out of a place of love. When you were taking them for those vaccines, you thought you were doing the best thing for their health. When you were giving them those antibiotics, it's because you'd placed your faith in a doctor. And why wouldn't you? We're brought up to be told that these people know best and have our best interests at heart. So, you know, guilt is it's a wasted emotion. You know, forgive yourself. Just when you know better, you do better. But, you know, you don't beat yourself up for the choices you've made, because it'll drive you into, it's a wasted emotion. You could be using that energy for, you know, moving forward. Don't look back. Just be grateful that you've got the knowledge now, and sort of build from that.
That's so wise. I know I had to go through, like, sort of forgiving myself, you know. And I think you say about Gina Ford's book, you know, I read that. That book, I remember reading it when I was pregnant with my first daughter, just thinking, now I look back and I'm like, that, oh my goodness. Just
my son was a Gina Ford bait. I have that routine printed out on my fridge. I could still tell it, you know, 8 a.m. 8:45 milk, 10 a.m. But all the wrong advice. But the advice that you think is the good advice, it's really difficult to, you think that that's the right advice to follow, because why wouldn't you?
And you do what's right at the time. And that's the thing, it's that kind of self-forgiveness and realizing you're on the right journey. Yeah, it's not always easy though, is it? I think, but no, you're so right with what you say there. So how much do you use homeopathy? Do you use it sort of on a sort of daily basis, or not daily, but you know what I mean? Is it part of your...
It this morning.
You've got quite a few empties there.
Yeah, I have. I really need to restock. I used St. Paul's Attila is both of the girls' go-to remedy. And they've both been going through a detox this week. I think it's a seasonal one. The weather's getting warmer here, so they're both exhibiting the typical really runny noses, chesty coughs. They're just getting all that mucus out, getting all that shit out. So we've been using pulsatilla this week, and also Drosera. Is it Drosera?
Yeah.
I can never pronounce the remedies, but I know which ones work.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah.
Drosera I've always found is a really good one when they've got that, all the heavy mucus on the chest. Yeah, I love the stuff. And you've just touched on that. I've got quite a few empties. And the other day I accidentally had caffeine. Caffeine and me don't agree. And I knew that if I took some aconite, it would lower the anxiety, and I didn't have any. So I used the paper remedy.
And did it work? Did you find it?
Works amazingly, yeah. Just the power of the mind, man. Power of putting all that energy into it. Just wrote aconite, focused all my energy on it, put my water on it.
Do you know what? I love, right, okay, so I'll tell you a story about paper remedies. And people, I mean, even in the homeopathic community, some homeopaths are like paper remedies, but my daughter with her, it's her second homeopath, we saw an intuitive homeopath in Australia, and she wanted to give her tarantula, and I didn't have it, and she said, do a paper remedy. So I wrote tarantula, and I put it under her pillow as she went to bed that night. And the first thing she started doing as she was brushing her teeth was going, "Mummy, I'm blind. I'm pretending to be blind," and sort of jumping around a bit like a spider. Anyway, she then lied down on her pillow and went, oh, my God, a spider's just crawled into my ear. And she didn't know it was there. I was like, what on earth have I done? It was so bizarre.
Power of it. It's so powerful. And it makes me laugh because there's an article somewhere, I think it's about two or three years old, I did an interview about homeopathy, and it was a Daily Mail, it was a mainstream piece, so it was one person talking about the benefits and one person, you know, saying it was utter shit. And I remember the journalist saying to me, well, what about people that say it's, you know, it's all placebo? I said, even if it is placebo, I said, the fact you can give somebody something, even if it's utter bullshit, even if it is placebo, if it works, then that just goes to show the power of the mind. Mm. You know, you can, if you give someone a pill and say, this is going to make you better, and they believe that and they take it, you could be giving them a fucking Tic Tac. The power of the mind is telling them that it's working, and that's what it all is. It's all that positive energy. It's you telling your body. It's why I'm, you know, it's what I've said for the past 12 months, why they're going so heavy on the media reporting of COVID. If you're going to list symptoms on mainstream media, you know, constantly, it's headaches, you're going to start to experience them.
Yeah.
It's the natural law of attraction. You put every headline with a list of symptoms, everyone reading it's going to experience them sooner or later.
Completely. And, you know, like the whole, like Joe Dispenza's You Are the Placebo and Bruce Lipton's Biology of Belief, where they talk about, I mean, Joe Dispenza, have you read his book, You Are the Placebo? It's really good. He talks about how it's all sort of in the mind. I mean, he was a proper doctor, but he was very, very severely injured and was told he wouldn't walk, but he believed that he was able to, and he made himself recover from something miraculous. But he talks a lot in the beginning about stories where it can go the other way, and how there was a guy that was diagnosed with liver cancer, and he was told he only had like a few days or whatever to live, and then he did die. But when they did the autopsy, he didn't have anything wrong with him. So it can work.
It really can work both ways. And I think the Western medicine is dreadful for that, for giving, you know, terrifying diagnosis. And you will, if you're told you're gonna die in 6 months, you'll die in 6 months.
Mm.
Because once you've got that in your head, and it's, you know, you're constantly going over it.
The power of the mind, I think, is seriously underrated. I really hope that in the future, you know, this is sort of the cutting edge of where medicine or whatever will go. And the homeopathy I see is maybe being a stepping stone, because even if, you know, what you say, if you're told you're going to take this and you're going to start to feel better, maybe people that don't have that capacity to think sort of more positively, the fact that the remedy is doing that for them, it will enable them to reach that space. It's like a stepping stone, maybe.
It is a stepping stone, because people are still in the mindset that they need to take something. That's what we've been programmed to believe, and that homeopathy is a lovely bridge to that, because you can give them something physical that's going to work, but that's then helping their mind to tell their body that everything's getting better, everything's improving, you're healthy, and it works. It does.
But there's definitely, people say, oh, it's the placebo, but, you know, I give homeopathy to my dog. You know, don't think animals are, like, influenced by placebo effect, are they?
So. No. Same. I got a rescue from Romania, and he had to be vaccinated to cross the border. I did a complete homeopathic detox on him. I gave him remedies for I can't remember now, shock or settling in or something. It works like a charm, and he wasn't aware.
Yeah, exactly. No, and they're using it on crops as well. I think that is going to be a sort of a lot. That's sort of, I find exciting. Sort of, where will that go? So we'll see. So what led you to travel to go to Greece? And, you know, I've been watching your story with absolute sort of like wonderment. Is that the word? An amazement.
It was, honest to God, it was blind panic. I'd always, like, my Pinterest was full of off-grid homes, and I'd always said, I'm going to move to Greece and, you know, live off the land. But it was always a case of, when we've got enough money, you know, when I've got X amount in the bank. And then when COVID happened in March of last year, I turned around and I said, I will get my children out of this country by the summer solstice. And I did. I got them out the day before, because I saw that they were going to make it, you know, mandated vaccines to get out or the rest of it. It was a download from God, and I booked a flight. I had to get really creative with our route. It took us like two planes and a boat to get to Greece.
Oh my God.
I know. 25 hours to get from the UK to Greece. With two kids.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I wasn't this like traveler. Like we'd only done family holidays. I'd only traveled with my husband, you know, and we did the usual package holidays. You'd get picked up at the airport in the coach, you know, taken to the hotel. I had to get out of that country. I knew we were going to get stuck there if we didn't, and if I'm going to be stuck anywhere. I mean, I'm stuck here now. I can't get out without a PCR test. But at least I'm stuck somewhere where there's an abundance of fresh fruit. There's loads of freshwater mountain springs, and it's constantly sunny. So those are like my... Oh, and you can grow your own weed outside. Those are like my four non-negotiables.
the dream life, basically.
As long as I've got sunshine, mountain water, fruit and weed, we can survive. So... and I'm still just winging it. I'm still just going, you know, day by day and month by month. I don't know where we'll be this time in 2 months. I can tell you we won't be back in the UK.
Yeah, so you're out. I mean, I long to live somewhere warm and sunny, and I think if you've got that and can be outside in nature and going to the beach, that's sort of my ultimate dream.
Does make the most extraordinary difference to your happiness and to your mental health, just being able to get up and like you said, go to a hot beach, it feels like you're on holiday every day. And that's how we all should be living. We shouldn't be living a life we want a holiday from.
Completely. Oh my, completely. I know, totally. Yeah, you've summed it up. So, so you went to Greece, and obviously you loved. You said that was your sort of dream to live there.
It's my soul home. I went to Greece because I was called there. It's just I was feeling pulled there, and we were there for 2 months. And then about the end of August, there started to be a really heavy police presence on the streets, mandating curfews and things. And I didn't want the girls to see that. The whole point of me getting out was that my children are completely unaware of this bullshit. So I knew of a commune in Portugal. And I thought, we're just going to have to go there because at least within that commune, they can live freely. And we were there from August till January. Mm-hmm. And it was bliss. Again, the kids were just running around completely free. And it's really diplomatic here. But it wasn't the right fit for me. It was run by men. Mm-hmm. And it started to feel like there was a bit of a competition of who's got the biggest spiritual dick.
Spiritual egos, yes.
I'm out. It wasn't just me, though. I mean, there were 35 of us there, and there's about 12 left now. Mm. So I left the commune, I stayed in Portugal, I came down to the south. And now we're just renting in a really, like, boho area.
Oh, lovely. And your kids, what are they up to? Have you found other sort of friends for them to play with? How's that working?
It's honestly, it's been so manifested. I found a forest school for them where they do meditation and yoga, gardening.
Amazing.
It's amazing. And the woman who runs it, so all the schools in Portugal went into lockdown. Apart from this forest school, because the woman who founded it stood up and just said, I am an unregistered school. I will never close my doors to children. Children need each other now more than ever.
Yeah.
And so they're at this little forest school 3 days a week. They spend the rest of the time horse riding and surfing.
Amazing.
And it's just a proper, they're having a proper childhood. And you know, they've no fear of the virus. They know that germ theory is bullshit. They know that the things to be aware of are, you know, corrupt authority figures, not yeah. the virus.
And presumably they're on board, like with the health. Like there's the health. They've been raised healthily. You know, I expect they're used to just eating decent food and getting their terrain intact, so to speak. So.
They're constantly dirty, they're constantly barefoot and earthing. That was one of the really good things about the commune was because it was a completely plant-based diet there, everything was fresh and organic. And you know, they've come away and they'll ask for quinoa, they'll ask for kale, because that's all that they had when we were there. And they were seeing all the other children eat it. So it becomes the norm.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, now they've got, they enjoy that food. They enjoy really healthy food.
Yeah, that's
great. No, they are. They're really healthy kids.
And do they, with the language, are they picking up Portuguese now?
Oh, their Portuguese is really good. Mine's dreadful. Theirs is really, really good. But we spent 2 months before we left the UK learning Greek.
Oh, that's so funny.
Which, A, is incredibly difficult to learn. But we learned High Greek. And when we got to Crete, no one speaks High Greek.
Oh,
it's like a different diet. It's fucking useless anyway. So now we're here in Portugal. The girls are learning Portugal at school. It's a Portuguese school. I've had to hire a tutor. My 40-year-old brain, like, intense language lessons.
No, that's amazing. And do you find there's anything you miss about the UK?
I miss two people in it. I miss my son and I miss the girl's father. Hmm. But no, I don't like the energy of that place. I don't like the culture of the place. I don't like the climate of the place. You couldn't pay me to return.
So have you got like plans? I don't blame if I could. Yeah, No, I am. The hot and sunny weather is, but we're all, you know what, actually even saying that, I'm conscious if I want to do it, I will. You know, it's that we create our own future, don't we? It's up to us to, you know, and I'm conscious that the reason I'm still in the England is because I've got my family, and that's a choice that I'm choosing. So I shouldn't go, oh, I'd love to live somewhere hot, because I can if I want to.
We all can. We're not trees, we can move.
Exactly. We're you know, we all have that choice, but I think so many of us, we're sucked into day-to-day routine and work and all of this.
It's all the programming. Everybody seems to think that you need, you know, a 9-to-5 job to be successful, or, you know, the house and the kids in school, whereas this, the way I'm living now, I feel my life is successful, and yet we're complete nomads. We've no home. You know, the kids aren't in an official school, but we've never been happier.
And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Which people lose sight of. What's been the most rewarding part of your journey to date?
Seeing the girls just grow and develop the way they have. I mean, Tabby can surf waves. Tabby couldn't swim when we left the UK. Now she can surf waves.
That's amazing.
Lola will just greet anybody in Portuguese. You know, she'll walk up to them, and in the street, the development has just been extraordinary. And to see, just to see them absorb it all, I wish I'd done this sooner, because I've been bitten by the bug now. I want to travel the world with them. I want to take them to Vietnam. I want to take them to India. I want to take, you know, but it's a bit shit to be bitten by the travel bug in 2020, isn't it? Like, what a fucking time to get bitten by it when all the borders are shut.
Yes.
to see what they get from being immersed in so many different cultures. You know, like at the commune, there were guys that would wear skirts and paint their nails, and you know, they were just surrounded by all these different experiences, but it was constantly from a place of love. You know, they've experienced nothing but love and security, which sounds really crazy when we're traveling, but in the UK, you know, I was in this 3-bedroomed house. They had their own bedrooms, and I hadn't realized, but it was really segregating. You don't realize it, but since we've traveled, we've always slept in the same bed, apart from when we were in the horse box, but then we were right next to each other. And it's just strengthened our relationship so much, and it's just gone to serve, you know, me with another reminder that all this programming to, like, you know, keep your kids in separate rooms, saying no, we should all be in one big nest. Like, Wim Hof, who is he was instrumental in my healing. Wim Hof was the first thing I invested in for myself.
I love Wim Hof.
Right, I also cry when I tell this story, so it's just how it works through me. But Wim Hof started his method. For anyone who's listening and doesn't know, he's the ice man. He's got a 3-step method, which is breath work, cold exposure, and stretching. And he started that method because his wife, the mother of his 4 children, was diagnosed with postnatal depression, and they filled her full of pills, all the best. You know, they were in Switzerland, the best psychologist in the world, until one day she kissed her kids goodbye and she went and jumped off a multi-story car park. And that was it. And I wrote to Wim, and he went and founded this method because he said that he couldn't understand how he'd watched them trying to treat depression with pills, and she just got worse and worse and worse. And he said, there's something else. And he went and founded this method. And I discovered that method when I had postnatal depression. And I wrote to him and I said, I know you founded this method because your children lost their mother. I said, but I just need you to know that your method have given my children back their mother. And he says, when he's interviewed about it, they say, like, what did you do? You know, she'd committed suicide. And he said, I got one big bed and I put all my children in it.
Oh.
And we stayed together in a nest. Oh. And I was like, yes, that's how it's meant to be. Like, you'd never find a tiger in the wild putting a cubs in a different cave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We're all meant to be
Yeah.
together. And it's just tiny little things like that. All of us being in the same bedroom all the time, all of us, it's strengthened the unity. It strengthens their immune system. I swear to God, it does, falling asleep, skin to skin, regulating the breathing. Even, you know, Tabby's going on 7, but I really do swear by it. So yeah, just all these little things I've learned since leaving the UK they've just been beautiful.
You're a strong unit now, aren't you, the three of you? It's amazing.
Yeah, we really are. Yeah, we are.
I love it. And it's funny, we think we're so evolved, don't we, as humans, like so evolved, and we've evolved from is really from our natural state in so many ways. But as you say,
we think we're evolved and we're not, we're going backwards. It's not progress to put your children in a different bedroom. You know, it's not progress to, Jason Christoph's got a brilliant saying, whereas to get up every morning at 9 o'clock and have the whole family separate to go and do things they don't want to do. So the mum goes to a 9 to 5, the kids go into an indoctrination camp. Sorry, school. You know, to separate for 8 hours to go. Well, like, when did that become normal? How's that normal? That's not normal. And family should be together.
Complete. I read, actually, it was just before lockdown last year, John Taylor Gatto, Dumbing Us Down. He also wrote Weapons of Mass Instruction, and it was about the education system. And he was an award-winning teacher, but he explained, you know, what it actually does to kids. And I was like, oh, it was one of those other, like, sort of...
Another light bulb moment, yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, it just made such sense. Yeah, it's scary, isn't it, when you start in
like,
some way.
You'll know that we've had to start this podcast late today because... My girls were asleep. Now, if this was a mainstream school, you've got to get your kids there by 9. Whereas this boys' school is like, no, you turn up when the kids are ready. So, the girls were asleep this morning. Like I've said, they're going through a bit of a detox right now. Their bodies heal when they're sleeping. I'm not going to wake them up. Yeah, I'm going to let their bodies wake up naturally. So they woke up really late this morning, a leisurely breakfast of smoothie bowls. Then I take them off to the forest school, which had started, you know, they were 40 minutes late in inverted commas, but it's not late because it's this natural organic place that we're taking them to. And there's no strict, but you're not allowed to roll up at 9:40 for primary school. You get fucking marks against your name and, you know, three strikes and you're getting social services.
Yeah. It is ridiculous. And I do think, though, that, you know, the whole the fact that everyone's been homeschooling, I mean, it's not homeschooling, is it? But, you know, it is. You couldn't even miss one day before without getting a fine. But now it's fine to have. You have.
Yeah, no, well, the whole thing's gone on its arse. I remember 12 months ago, it was all kicking off, going to Sainsbury's and being told I had to leave Lola, who was 2, in the car. And I turned around to the guy and I said, 2 months ago, I said, if I'd left my 2-year-old in the car to go into the shop, I said, someone would have called the fucking police on me. Now you're telling me I have to leave her in the car because
you were actually told to leave her in the
car. I was told to leave her in the car. But they've got it was one of those situations in Sainsbury's, I'll never forget it. And they were doing that thing where there was a queue outside, you know, all 2 metres apart, one out, one in. So there was a guy on the door. I'd call him fucking security, call him whatever you want. And he's like, no, you can leave her in the car. It's fine. I can see her. I'm like, oh, my. Having you keep an eye on her. I don't know who the fuck you are.
Sorry, that's a lot. It's not funny. I'm laughing because I'm just...
No, mate, it is funny because if you didn't laugh, you'd cry at the insanity. It is funny.
Oh my God, did he? Well, obviously, did he let her in? I mean, just what?
Yeah, no, he did. I went to Tesco instead where they weren't being as stringent, but anyway, just goes to show the insanity. You know, months before that, if someone had seen a child alone in the car of a car park, all hell would have broken loose. And now it's like, oh, good parenting. Good parenting. You're not bringing your little germ dispenser with you.
Oh, fuck off. Oh my God. Sorry, it's ridiculous. But it sounds like, I mean, just how perfectly things have come together, you know, finding this school for your girls and where you are
honestly
now.
I'm talking more about this in my upcoming course, but the power, I'd always been into the law of attraction, I'd manifesting, and I thought I knew what I was doing. The manifesting I have managed to do since all this started, from how I got out the UK to now, it's just extraordinary. I write it down, I focus on it, and it happens. I literally wrote down a list of, I said, I want a place in my school where they can be educated together, as in there's no segregation. And that happens in this school. It's ages 3 to 12, and they're all taught together. There's no, the 12-year-olds aren't taught differently to the 3-year-olds. And I wanted them to be together. I wanted somewhere where they would practice yoga, meditation and breath work. I wanted somewhere where they would be fed organic food, where they would be loved and nurtured, and where their creativity could flourish. Those are the 5 points I wrote down. And this school just, yeah, I manifested it. I've manifested every single thing so far. It's been extraordinary. And it really just goes to reiterate that if you knew, and I'm talking to every single person listening now, if you knew the power of your mind, you'd understand why they are going to such fucking extraordinary lengths to dumb you down and to keep you small. Because my hand to God, if you can dream it, you can do it. And I used to think that that was like quite airy fairy. It's not. And it's nothing to do with money either. People sort of have this mindset of, oh, I want this. I need to manifest, you know, 40 grand. Don't focus on the money. I wrote down that I wanted a house that was close to the school with an enormous garden full of fruit trees. Now I'm in the Algarve. You can't get houses like that for less than 2 grand a month. It's impossible. I wrote it down. I wrote my maximum rent, which was 350 euros a month. I found this house on Airbnb. It was going for £4,500 a month. God just said right to the owner. I messaged the owner. I said, I'm a mum with 2 girls. We're looking for a long-term rental. He wrote back. He said, yeah, you can have it for 350.
Oh, my. That's amazing.
But it's extraordinary. It's extraordinary. Look round. It's an enormous, beautiful house.
I've just got chills.
Sorry, your viewers can't see this. if you follow me on Insta, you know, we've got this massive garden. So don't. When it comes to manifesting, don't focus on the money, focus on what you want.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how you're going to get it. It doesn't necessarily, I wanted surf lessons for Tabby. They're like 40 euro an hour. I'm not stretching to that once a week. I had this, I met this woman who I did three healing sessions for, and she just turned around. She said, I'd love to be able to repay you. She's like, I'm a surf teacher.
Oh,
can
wow.
It's just honestly, you know, like serious goosebumps. Like, don't focus on the money. People think, like, when it comes to manifesting, they seem to think, oh, manifest money. Don't. Manifest what you want. You want a massive house, manifest
they
it.
They do.
You're not necessarily going to buy it.
Yeah, people think, well, I need then this much money to be able to do it. So yeah, they, and then you don't get
you
it,
really
do you?
Don't.
Because you're focusing
you really
on the wrong
don't.
Thing.
You never know how it's going to come your way. I mean, to give you a perfect example, the commune that I was living on in Portugal, the guy who founded that commune, so he was a YouTuber, he was quite a well-known truther on YouTube, and he left the UK, I think, I want to say 2018, 2019, and he came over to Portugal, didn't have much, he had about 4 grand on him. Him and his missus were living in a horse box, and a footballer contacted him, very well-known Premiership footballer contacted him, and said, you've changed my life with your videos. I'd like to donate £500,000 for you to buy some land in Portugal and have it as a haven for any like-minded people.
Oh, my God.
So never underestimate, you know, where people, like I said, don't ever focus on the money. Like Mark, the guy whose commune it was, he was focusing on getting some land that he could build a community on. That's all he focused on, getting land to build a community on. Lo and behold, he gets this gift from this footballer. So you just put it out there, what you want, but don't focus on the monetary value of it. Just focus on what you need.
So what's the course that you're going to be doing? Because I think it sounds like it's going to be amazing.
So it's how to reprogram yourself. The courses I've done before have been primarily based on self-sabotage, because that's what I trained in. I trained with Jason Christoph as a self-sabotage coach. But what I found is it's quite difficult to lead a group of people through self-sabotage. It's something that's much easier to do one-on-one. And since leaving the UK, I've noticed more and more and more, even up to yesterday, I'm getting new lessons on just how deep and intense this programming goes. And I've realized that there are I don't want to call them tricks, but I can't think of another word, but to reprogram your mind, because it is your mind that is the most powerful thing. Look at the extraordinary measures they're going to try and, you know, keep us dumbed down and keep us from accessing our power. And when you manage to, it's first it's recognizing the programming, and then it's understanding how to reprogram. Mm-hmm. And honestly, once you can reprogram that, and it's a, you know, you've got to keep practicing it. You've got to keep up with this practice, because the programming's everywhere. It's very difficult to escape if you're living on planet Earth. So,
and we get
primarily focusing on how to reprogram, and I swear to God, by the end of it, you'll be able to manifest anything you want. Anything.
When are you going to be releasing the course?
Ah, that's a million-dollar question.
It sounds amazing.
I know, and I've done the videos for it, and then something else comes to me that I think people need to know, and so I redo them, and I really need to commit to a date. So I'm really, really, really going to focus on releasing it in the next 3 weeks. So people can sign up at my website if they're interested, and details will be going out, but as yet the launch date is TBA.
www.thealchemistanarchist.com.
My old website is also still up and running, which is www.bebritannia.com, and that's the one I'd recommend people go to if they're just getting started. That's where I've got all my resources. It's got all my research up there free of charge. My book is for sale, but all of my research is free, all the information is free, and it's also got all my videos, my infamous car rants from 2020. They're on bebritannia.com. But The Alchemist Anarchist is my new brand, where I'm focusing less on the corruption and more on just helping people to rise up and reclaim their sovereignty. Because you can, I mean, I don't know if you know, if your listeners will have seen, if they don't follow me on social media, they won't do, but I had an encounter with the GNR, which is the Portuguese police, last week, where they stopped me for an identity check, and I handled it terribly. I had everything I wanted to say up here, but in the end, all I screamed at them was "fuck you" and "fuck your human rights," and I drove off. And you know, people were jumping in my inbox, like, "Oh my god, you know, they're going to get you, they're going to come." Like, no, they're not. I'm like, I've surrounded myself with light, and they haven't. There's been absolutely no comeback on it. And again, it's the power of the mind. I've got two beautiful friends. I won't say their names because what they've done is illegal. But they were here with me in Portugal, and they wanted to get back to Sweden. And they're like me. They will refuse to take any PCR tests. And just before they left, we all prayed together. We imagined them surrounded by light. They've crossed how many borders? They're home in Sweden now. They've crossed, I think, 5 borders. Each one, they were stopped and asked for the PCR test. They said they hadn't done it. They were waved straight through.
Really?
Straight through. Okay, that's okay. Through you go. It's the power of the mind. But if you're going into that situation, shitting yourself, thinking that they've got, it's really difficult to try and articulate, but it is your divine, your sovereign, and if it's all about frequency. It's about putting yourself on a, getting yourself on a frequency whereby you pretty much are untouchable, because you are untouchable. If you're not hurting yourself or others, you're doing fuck all wrong, and you can go about your life.
Do you know what? I agree. I remember when I first came across like the Law of Attraction, and I read The Secret, the classic book, and I read this years and years ago, and I remember thinking, like, oh my goodness, like, if everyone read this, we'd all be like, we'd be uncontrollable. Like they, you know, they.
Well, this is it, and I've got the girls. The girls are really aware of it, and they see it work. You know, I'll walk in on Tabby, and Tabby sat there like this, and I'm like, "Babe, what are you doing?" She's going, "Shh, mummy, I'm just manifesting."
Oh, that's amazing.
And then I don't know, two days later, she'll come running in, and she'll go, "Look, mummy, I got what I manifested." And it can be any, you know, it's anything, but it's teaching them, and yeah, we would be unstoppable. We would be unstoppable, and we will be unstoppable. Because when you're vibrating in the light, it vibrates at such a higher power than the dark. So it doesn't take many of us, and we will be unstoppable.
And that is lovely. And I think, you know what, how amazing your kids are like that. Because I think the norm is, the way most parents will raise their kids, if you want something, it's like, oh, don't get your hopes up, you might be disappointed. Or, you know, it's the exact opposite, isn't it? How most people are raised.
I mean, we've got like, I give her little tips. Like, I mean, you know, she's a child, so she wants to manifest toys. And I'm like, no. We've got to manifest things that are going to come in love and come in gratitude, and not what not what you want, but things that we need. But I mean, she really wanted a little doll's house. She really wanted a little doll's house. She was manifesting it. We were walking to the shop. Someone had thrown a doll's house out by the bin. It was a perfect one. It was wooden. Aww. Yeah. It was a bit battered, but we repainted it together. But she's like, look, mummy, look, the doll's house. God's given me the doll's house.
Oh,
and she'd only started manifesting it, like, you know, 24 hours earlier.
So what's she going to be like in, like, 15, 20 years' time if she's been brought up
An
like
absolute
that?
Wizard.
Yeah.
Like Dumbledore.
That's so amazing. Oh, right, I'm really conscious of your time. I just want to ask you a couple of other things, if that's all right, before I
go on, hit me with them.
Just what's your plans for the future? You've kind of got to it, but and I don't want to answer for you, but do you have plans for the future?
My ultimate dream goal would be, I want to have my own land in a hot climate by the sea with an abundance of fruit trees. That's my checklist. And ultimately, I'd like to be in a position where I can invite other families of, you know, like-minded natures to come and stay with us, and just, you know, to be able to provide them with somewhere that they can heal and grow. But where that's going to be, I don't know. Like I said, I really don't know where we're going to stay. But ultimately, I'd like to have. Have a haven that I can invite people to. I'd like to be able to help others to just break away and, you know, have somewhere safe to go while they find their feet and work out what's next.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. Absolutely perfect. And then the last question I wanted to ask, you know, if you could wish anything right now, what would be your greatest wish for humanity?
For every single soul on earth to realize that you're divine, you're sovereign, and you're already free. If you're choosing not to be, you're choosing not to be free. I want every single soul on earth to realize just how divine, just how sovereign, and just how powerful they are, because the moment they do, the game's over.
Well, watch this space, see what happens. But I really, yeah, no, that's a beautiful wish, that if everyone did realize how powerful they actually were, the world would
game over. Light's going to prevail.
And you said, and just on a personal level, thank you so much for doing this. I really, really appreciate it.
You're so welcome.